Hi, I'm Tara, and welcome to Let's Do Books. I am excited, friends, because this week, Andy Marquette is back. She is an author, an editor, a publisher, a podcaster. She is a fangirl of so many things geek. She writes science fiction, mysteries, romance, and she even writes a buttload of fanfic in the Klexiverse. And she is the co-admin of the popular blog site Women in Words. She's also one half of the Women in Words podcast, one half of the Les Geek Out podcast, where she geeks out with Lise McTagg, also a fabulous author over various media, and they have discussions about anything fan-related. Her latest book is Friends in High Places, which is out everywhere from Dirt Road Books, which, oh yeah, is also the publishing company that she launched with five other kick-ass authors in 2017. I'm tired just saying all of that. Welcome, Andy!
God, I'm tired too. What the hell? When do I sleep?
I don't know. When do you sleep?
That's insane. Hey Tara, how are you doing?
I am great.
How's the weather?
So people are going to be listening to this in June, but it is April. It is Easter weekend, and I am looking outside at the results of the lovely April snow showers that we were blessed with in Calgary last night. We have April showers. They're just always snow showers.
It's not like what you're thinking, friends, here in the States.
No.
Although in my part of the world, I'm in the Rocky Mountain West, so same as you. So yeah, we do get April snow.
Yeah, see? I'm just a little north of you.
Yeah.
So you are here today because we are going to be talking about books with small town settings. We both have some recommendations to share.
Yay!
So what is it about that setting that appeals to you?
Oh my God, who doesn't love a small town with quirky characters? And I grew up in a small town, so I'm sure that's part of it. And by growing up, I mean that I literally grew up in a small town, went away to college, but always had a base in a small town. And now I'm back living in a small town. So I have that. It's a place where I feel most like myself, especially Western small towns in the American West, because that's pretty much what formed me growing up. So for me, a small town is like coming home. So when I read about small towns in other parts of the world, even I can relate, because there are certain things about small towns that are, I would say, common with regard to people who are living in them. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. It's like there are going to be certain things. There's always going to be like the town weirdos. There's always going to be like certain dynamics between certain people that everybody knows about and kind of works with. There's always going to be this sense that even if you don't like somebody in a small town, you're able to at least get along with them, because there's a sense of they're part of your extended weird family. So for me, growing up in a small town, and when I grew up, there was about 2,000 or 3,000 people in the town where I grew up, which isn't a lot. Right. I mean, I graduated in a class of like 80 people in high school, and a lot of us are still in contact with each other. And we just had another high school reunion and about 60 people showed up. So, I mean, all of us are still connected in some way to the town that we grew up in, whether it's through family or friends, because some of my high school friends did not leave and I see them. I still see them around town and they own businesses and stuff. And it's just a lot of fun to like know that there's a place where people know you and your weirdnesses, and they're not necessarily going to judge you, at least not overtly. They're just going to be like, oh yeah, that's Andy. She's like, you know, she's the town lesbian or whatever, you know? And it's fun to come back to a town that I grew up in, because there's been a lot of change. And like now I know that the local high school has a gay straight alliance, which was not a thing at all, even close, when I was growing up. And I see like little queer kids running around town now openly. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? Like this weird time warp thing. But it's fun to see the evolution, and also to know that the people who end up here come here for specific reasons, and they end up becoming part of the fabric of the town. And I like to explore that too, as a town changes, what happens to the different people, and what happens when newbies come into the town, and how are they assimilated or not. So I love town. I love small town life. I love small town. There you go.
That's great. So This episode was actually inspired by a pretty great author who I am also a fan of and who is a good friend of yours. So can you talk a little bit about that?
I would love to. I've been thinking a lot about, and I don't know, it just kind of popped into my head because my colleague and friend, Joff Bell, has done a lot of writing on small towns in Idaho specifically. For those of you who followed the Women in Words podcast, which is on extended hiatus forever, we may revise it. We don't know. Joff grew up in Idaho, in rural Idaho. So she and I both grew up in rural areas in the West, and we had that in common. And she did a book. I don't remember what year this was, Tara. Maybe you did. You would remember this. That I served as a beta reader and then kind of an outside editor on. And that book was Shaps, and it was through Bold Strokes Books. And it was one of the first, it was the second book in her formal writing career. And it's about a young woman with a kind of a shitty past from a big city, and she's trying to escape and hide. And she ends up in rural Idaho where there's a rancher, and as the trope goes, these two end up hooking up. But Joff has a really interesting way of writing the settings because they are intimate to her. She knows this area. She knows how these people are. And when I read it as a beta reader, I was like, oh, this is great. And I kept thinking she should really just do more like small town rural settings like this because she has a real gift for it, for capturing these people, the characters, and the thing that they have to deal with in rural areas, which are very different than what you have to deal with in urban areas. And lo and behold, a few years later, she started writing in what we've started calling the Bitterroot verse. And this is a fictional town in Idaho that Joff has created that is the place that she would want the whole world to be like. And she has a series of short stories out that deal with different characters in her Bitterroot verse, but she also wrote, and I think you've read this one, Bitterroot Queen, which is about a woman from Las Vegas and her teen daughter, and they end up in Bitterroot with this broken down, fucked up hotel that they're going to refurbish in this small town. And Ollie, the drifter, she shows up and she has all these handyman skills, and she shows up as the person to help create this like enclave, this like motel, it's kind of a roadside motel. And so then we see like these two women sort of like hitting it off. They come from very different backgrounds, but how they negotiate not only creating this space, this physical space, but the emotional space between them. It's, there's so many metaphorical layers there. And I don't even know if Joff was aware of that when she was writing it, but she has created a bunch of different stories in this Bitterroot verse, and we're re-releasing one through Dirt Road Books called Cake. It's a novella, so it's not going to set you back much, and it deals with two other characters in this verse, and she like brings them together, and they sort of like, you know, cross each other's paths through the different stories she has written. We have a bunch of free Bitterroot short stories available on the website, so you can get a taste of some of these other characters and the town of Bitterroot, which is holds a special place in my heart. It doesn't even exist. And I'm like, oh my God, I so know this town. Like I grew up here, you know, so that's kind of what I was thinking about in terms of like when we started working on Cake to re-release, and I told Joff, I said, if you can, please write more in this small town, because I think there's a real appeal for people, especially right now when the world's going to shit. There's an appeal to feel like you're safe, like around people you know, characters you're familiar with in a small town setting. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Like, am I off base on that, you think?
No, I think that's true. I mean, right now, while we're recording this, I mean, who even fucking knows what's going to be going on with this pandemic by the time this airs in June? Anything could be happening. But right now, there is a lot of panic. There is a lot, there's an information overload, there is a misinformation overload. You know, we are collectively experiencing a trauma. And even if things are much better by June, which, I don't know, who knows what the world's going to be like, we're still, at a minimum, we will be recovering from a collective trauma.
Yep.
And you know, these are the times when it helps to have good fiction to turn to have these places, these settings that are safe, that can be another home when your real home doesn't feel safe anymore. So I do agree with you.
I like that too, because, you know, right now I'm hunkered down in a small town in a rural area outside of town, which I feel I'm very, very fortunate because I can go outside whenever I want. And there's nobody, the closest neighbor is across the river. Like, you know, that's like 600 feet. Social distancing is thus really easy. Now it's hard. We have been checking in with neighbors and friends, you know, texting and calling just to make sure everybody is okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, geez, I get to go outside and see the mountains and the river and hang out with the dog and work in the shop. And 'cause we have lots of projects going on right now and, you know, help as we can. But this is a really different kind of crisis in that we're all isolated physically from each other, which makes it a lot harder to help. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we can still like donate money, mm-hmm. you know, to various causes. But in a situation like this, when people are sick and sadly dying, we can't even be with those people to the extent that would normally would be. And it causes a lot of stress. Like we've got the fight or flight thing going on in our heads all the time, but we're anchored to specific places and we literally cannot go out into the communities and do things that would normally be helpful or, you know, uplifting. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's really freaking hard. And I struggle with this weird guilt that I am in this really great place to do these, to deal with this, but I can't go and help my neighbors physically. I can't like check in on them. I can like leave groceries on their doorstep. A lot of folks in my town are doing that for each other, mm-hmm. which is really cool. But you're right. There's like this, we're going through a collective trauma and we're going to be dealing with stress and PTSD after whatever happens after. We don't even know, like you say, what's going to happen. And if it's anything like the 1918 pandemic, we're going to get a couple more waves of this in the fall and this following spring. And I don't know what things are going to look like. There's huge uncertainty, which adds to the trauma. So,
but
I am literally I'm in a small town. I feel like a sense of belonging, but I also love reading, mm-hmm. escapism. And for me, escaping to other small towns actually helps.
Right. And like, I do think about like, what is something that I can do and something that I can do in hard times. And what I can do is recommend books. And I mean, mm-hmm. it's not, mm-hmm. does it feel like enough? Not always, but it's also not nothing. So hopefully true. We are going to have a bunch of recommendations that, so that anybody listening to this will come away with at least one mm-hmm. book that they want to go, they can check out, and they can just get a break for a few yeah. hours. And if mm-hmm. you haven't read Bitterroot Queen, I highly recommend it. It was one of my favorite books. When did it come out? 2 years ago?
Yeah, it came out like, I think we released it in early 2018 or late 2017.
Yeah.
Hers was that book was the very first book we released through Dirt Road Books. And so we're very proud of it for that reason too. But also just, Jove had been writing in the Bitterroot verse short stories for a while. And then she wrote Cake and put that out originally with Ilva. And then she put out Bitterroot Queen with us, which I loved.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Know, just the interactions of the characters. And it's not a typical romance.
I don't think it is a romance.
You're dealing with a lot of... It is, but it's not. It's sort of more a romance of connection, you know, of two people realizing that there is a connection there, but there's also so many other stories going mm-hmm. on with other characters. And you start to see, I've used this term already here, the fabric of the town. Mm-hmm. You see that reflected in these characters. And I love that, watching how a town is basically a character.
Yes.
And is brought through in the people.
Yes.
So that's my other big thing about small town romances. I love to see how the setting and the town is a character also.
Well, then on that note, I'm going to say my recommendation is the Jericho series by Anne McMahon. And I mean, let's be honest. Is it an episode of Les Do Books if I don't bring up Anne McMahon? I don't think so.
No. So I approve this message.
Yeah. So there are many things that I love about this series. This was her, Jericho, the first book, was her first published book. And it is a traditional romance. Mm-hmm. Between the town doctor, Jericho's a small town in West Virginia, and mm-hmm. there's a librarian who comes to town. She is newly divorced, and she is going to get this library going in town. And they are quirky. Everybody in this town is quirky. Most Anne McMahon books have quirky characters. But the thing that I especially love about this series, and I think was incredibly brave, is that it's only the first book that's a romance. The series shifts mm-hmm. to general fiction after that. And I think that is so effective because it really, again, allows the town to come to the forefront, to bring forward other people's stories in addition to Maddie and Sid's, and mm-hmm. really highlight those quirks. But it's always done with a real sense of gentleness.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
You know, this is not about making fun of people in a small town. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very clear that there is a fondness for them, but at the same time, she's also interrogating serious social issues in some of these. Like in the book Aftermath, it's how does this mm-hmm. town come together in the literally aftermath of a tornado? How does a community mm-hmm. pull mm-hmm. together and be a community and heal from something that devastating? And then in Goldenrod, Jesus Christ, that book, you know, there's
and what the hell?
There's an abusive, you know, there's a child who has an abusive father. There's an election going on. There is a threat to some of the local families who may not have come to the United States legally, but they are doing their best to make mm-hmm. a good life for their families. And there's still that threat. Like, humor is a thread that goes throughout because it really allows for that. We're going to go deep and hard mm-hmm. on something that might be painful to read. And then she's going to pull that back a little bit with some of the humor to make mm-hmm. it possible to pass through. And all the while, this town and its people are so mm-hmm. good. Like, I love going back to it over and over. And I'm still seeing, like, I don't know, pretty regularly on Twitter, I see people saying, when's that next book coming? When is it happening? Like, people want more in this series and they want that resolution. They want to know what happens to Dorothy, that little girl at the end mm-hmm. of Goldenrod, because there's a big moment involving her. And it's just, it's fantastic. Also, it's Anne McMahon. Just go get it.
Just read her.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, people.
Right?
Just read Anne.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just do it.
I, along those lines, I would highly recommend Joan Oper's two books that she's done on small town Idaho. One, the first is Idaho Code, and the second is From Hell to Breakfast. And this is Joan is a hell of a writer, and she hasn't written anything in a while, but these were her first couple of books, and they're absolutely amazing. Like Idaho Code, for example, the opening paragraph is all the quirky characters are at a funeral and there's a cell phone, cell phone incident. It's like, and I mean, oh my God, I can't even begin to describe the quirk that goes on in this town. And it's, there's a mystery. There's like a kind of a mystery woven in here, but there's also a romance woven in. And then there's like dealing with being queer in a small town. And just the everyday, I mean, her characters, there's a couple of fanboy characters that are fucking hilarious. And I mean, I have read these two books like, I think 3 or 4 times now. And I love them. Every time I go back to these books, I'm like, oh, I know somebody like that. or oh my God. So if you, and again, these are older books, but I believe they're still available. Idaho Code and From Hell to Breakfast. Please do yourselves a favor. If you like Anne McMahon, I guarantee you're going to like Joan Oper.
Thank you for being an awesome listener and supporting Tilt, the channel that brings you all the podcasts you want to hear. You're listening to Tilt. Find more podcasts on thelesbiantalkshow.com.
So my next recommendation is Beautiful Dreamer by Melissa Braden, both because I want to recommend that specific book, but because it does a thing that I find is really prevalent with small town books that isn't necessarily as much with books that take place in cities. And that is the theme of coming home. Often.
Yes.
Often not because you want to come home.
Exactly.
As is the case in this book. So one of the characters, her name is Devin, and she is in real estate. She is kicking ass at real estate in Philadelphia. She left her hometown of Dreamers Bay after high school, never looked back, wasn't, you know, she comes back to the occasional visit with family, but that's kind of it. And she gets a phone call that her sister, who is her best friend, but her sister is missing, her sister's missing. So she hops a plane, like she immediately hops a plane back to Dreamers Bay, and they, you know, there's a search that's on for Jill. And it's this weirdo that was one of her old classmates that sort of leads the search. This weirdo's name is Elizabeth. Everybody loves her. She's very quirky. She's very, very quirky. And I love her. And actually, there's a great moment between the two of them where Devin says, "You're weird but nice." And she's like, "I'm all right with that. I like me. I like who I am." And that's actually one of my favorite things about this book too, is that like Elizabeth knows her worth. She knows her worth. She loves herself. She was exactly the character that I needed to read. And I came across her when I was listening to a lot of Lizzo. So it all just worked for me. Because Lizzo has so many love songs to herself, which I adore. Like, we all should be singing love songs to ourselves.
We should all. Yes.
And, you know, Jill gets found. She's been in some kind of an accident. She needs to recover physically. So Devin is kind of there in this town for quite a while. And it's just, it's lovely. It's this amazing, lovely town where people are sweet. There's like a weekly cornhole game on Saturdays over by the strip mall. There's a donut shop called Amazin' Glazin' that sounds super good. There, you know, even though it's in, I think it's in South Carolina, there are still Black people there. So that's good, because if there's not, that's a problem. There's a reason why
there's
not.
That's a major problem.
Right. So this book is just so lovely. Like, it has the quirks, but it has the fondness, and it is a perfect place to escape to. And I love seeing Devin really, I wouldn't say she's an ice queen, she's definitely a workaholic, but like seeing her relax now that she's back and she's with her sister, who's her best friend, and just seeing that, you know, coming to terms with coming back, even though it wasn't sort of where she had wanted to be, and figuring out, is this a place that maybe is for me? It's so good. I really recommend it.
I think that too is a big attraction for me when reading and writing small town, is that I like my characters thinking about finding a place. And I think we see that in a lot of small town romances and small town literature, is that there are people who have already been there, but then there are the folks who are either coming back to that place or they end up in that place. And in so doing, it becomes who they are, or they recognize a part of themselves that they didn't realize they had been looking for.
Yeah.
So, wow, that was kind of deep. Shit. Okay.
What's your next one?
I actually have I'm going to do one and then maybe a quick another one, because I am also, as we've talked about, I'm a huge fan of small towns around the world. I really would like it if we could find some lesfic written in Africa and Latin America, but maybe I don't know of any of these. If anybody has any recommendations, please, by all means, shoot them toward me. But in the meantime, let's talk about Cheyenne Blue and her Girl Meets Girl series, which takes place, well, it starts in, you know, like she's got a couple of books that take place in London, and then she's got a couple that take place in the Australian outback in Queensland. And one, the first one of those is Not So Straight Sue, I believe, which is the second in the series. And basically it's like a group of characters. And so Cheyenne takes like focuses on two characters and their romance. And then in the next book on like a friend of those two characters and her romance like that. So it's sort of like these people going in and out of each other's lives. And Not So Straight Sue features kind of that prodigal daughter returning home, like Melissa Braden's book. And in this case, it's a lawyer in the UK who realizes that, what the fuck am I doing here? I really need to go get grounded and find my roots again, or reconnect with my roots. So she returns to Queensland, a small town where she grew up and had to leave because of this really shitty situation that developed as a result of her being found out as a lesbian. So she goes back home and she's trying to like negotiate this tension with her parents, especially her mom. And we've all, a lot of us have been through that. Am I right? Like, and she ends up taking over a lawyer's practice in a neighboring town. And in Australia, obviously, neighboring towns are anywhere from an hour to 3 hours away. So, so we're talking about vast spaces here that, and I'm fascinated by vastness like that and how people negotiate it, not only emotionally, but physically. So she ends up in this other small town and she's takes over this lawyer's practice while he goes on. He's an older guy and he goes off and does his thing for a year. You know, he does that Aussie walkabout kind of thing. So here she is in this small town and she's got a really good friend who's in the States, in Texas, who is a doctor. And this doctor has been carrying a torch for the small town lawyer for years. And the small town lawyer is starting to realize that she too is carrying a torch for the doctor. So lo and behold, we have the doctor coming on a special kind of visa to work in a special kind of hospital 3 hours away in a larger town. And for her thus coming to Australia as a stranger, she is finding her place in the world, which is not the States. And so that element of the story is really interesting. And Sue had to come back from a big city and to reconnect with herself from the place where she is, in the place where she is from. So I liked all those elements there that played out as these two women find each other and hook up. That's Not So Straight Sue and it's Cheyenne Blue. And there's a couple of novellas in that series and a couple of novels and that tell the stories of the various characters. And Cheyenne Blue has such a great way of setting and making the town and the setting and the other people in it parts of that landscape and parts of those characters that it really resonates with me because I grew up in, you know, in a place where landscape is really important. So she just captures that for me.
Yeah.
And her characters are kind of quirky and goofy and get into like all kinds of crazy shit. It's Fenced In Felix features like a mystery surrounding a racehorse and a mysterious drifter. I mean, how can you not want to read that?
Mm-hmm.
Along those lines, if you get a chance, friends, please get copies of Jill McKnight's Wallops books. She has two out and they're absolutely hilarious. Small town in the UK with all kinds of crazy crap going on and just like some emotionally difficult things like Anne McMahon writes, but also funny, quirky characters and a mystery and like a rekindled romance. Full disclosure here, we are going to be re-releasing Wallops, the first book, Welcome to the Wallops. And I've read it again and I so love this series. I love a small town. And if you're into paranormal, read her first book, Borage, in her latest witch series. That's a small village in England. And oh my God, it's hilarious and also kind of wrenching in some ways. But Jill, like Anne, really captures like the human side of things and uses humor really effectively, I think, to deal with some scary issues. And I mean, humor is a tool, Tara, you know that.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's useful. So my last book takes place in a small town in Hawaii. And I'm going to warn you that this book is going to make you want to book a flight to Hawaii because it sounds so amazing.
But don't right now, you guys, social distancing.
That's right. Just read this book and then maybe
read this book.
Put on a video or something. Yeah. I don't know. But it's called If I Loved You Less by Tamsin Parker. And it's about a young woman who helps her dad run a surf shop in, I'm probably going to say it wrong, Hanalei Bay. And so she, you know, gives surf lessons or she's selling rash guards and stuff. But she's also acts like the local matchmaker because she thinks she has a knack for it because she helped her former nanny find love with the local gallery owner. And there's this really sweet, naive mainlander who arrives at the shop. She's looking for a job because she wants to prove to her parents that she can make it on her own. And so Theo has a new mission in life. Mm-hmm. She's going to help this girl find love. So she steers her clear from some nice guy because he has no prospects working at the local bakery. She thinks there's other better choices. But Theo's best friend is actually the owner of that bakery. Her name is Keeney, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? That's not cool. And they've been friends for a really long time. Keeney's quite a bit older. I think she's 15 or 19 years older or something like that. And so she's not afraid to give her tough love. She also gives amazing pastries. So again, you're probably going to want to have some baked goods around while you're reading it.
That sounds great.
And after a while, Theo realizes that maybe she has feelings for Keeney, but she's actually pushed her towards somebody else as part of her matchmaking thing. Now, if this storyline sounds a little familiar, it's because it's a rewrite of the book Emma by Jane Austen. I loved it. I saw some people who didn't love it. And that is because these people also didn't love the book Emma, because Emma is one of those characters that you either kind of love or you kind of hate, because she is meddlesome. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like meddlesome characters, you might have a problem with that. But I just think it's great. She has, like, as much as Theo can be a pain in the ass sometimes, she really does have a tremendous heart. She's trying to do it from sort of a good place. And the setting in this is so lovely, because it really is, like, it's quite a small town and they do depend on tourism, but it's very much catered to the people who want to come to Hawaii and get that small town experience. They don't want to go and have the big resort experience. You want to come, you want to have the authentic, like, that's where you go. And it's so good. I would say this reads more, however, it doesn't really read like a traditional romance. It reads more almost like chick lit or something like that. More like women's fiction. Like, I don't know. I don't know. The boundaries between all of those are a little bit weird because there is a romance to this, but it is not at the forefront. Theo's antics are at the forefront. But if you want like a slightly different setting, I think this is the only lesfic I've come across that takes place in Hawaii. So
that's... Especially in a small town like that.
Yeah, right? It's pretty...
Which is so interesting to me. And you and I were talking about this earlier, and for me, small towns around the world and in different regions have certain things in common, but what makes it a regional experience is the adaptation that town has made and the people have made to that particular area and landscape. For example, a Hawaiian small town, who doesn't know of a small town with a bakery, right?
Yeah.
But my small town doesn't have a surf shop.
No.
You know?
No.
And my small town is not like 3 hours away from the next small town. It's 24 miles, 5 miles to the like small hamlet. And then there's another one, like, you know, these vast expanses of the outback. And it's not like a village. I mean, there's a bakery in a village, right? But there's not going to be a surf shop in the UK.
Right.
So I love these little differences.
Or maybe like there's a bakery in each town, but they're not necessarily going to focus most of their flavors on on tropical things, like little tiny nuance. Oh, now I'm getting hungry. All right. I did it to myself.
Okay. Let's send them a bakery.
Right. So you've also written a couple of small town books as well. Can you just tell us a little bit about those?
I love small towns, Tara. Did I tell you that already?
I think you may have.
I have a novella and a novel, and the novella is the first in this two book thing, and then the novel is the second. The novella is called From the Boots Up, and it features Meg Talmadge, who is a, well, in the novella, she is a wannabe vet. So she's still working toward her degree at Colorado State University. She and her dad live in Wyoming, right over the, it's close to the Colorado border. It's a town called Saratoga. That town actually does exist. I have visited it. It's a great place, but I use it fictionally. You know, so I populate it with all kinds of characters that do not live there in real life. Like, so Meg is about to go to vet school at Colorado State University, and she and her dad are trying to figure out ways to make their ranch, the Diamond Rock Ranch, a viable dude ranch kind of thing. And her dad is like worried about money. And what happens is the Los Angeles Times wants to send a reporter out on to do a story on Western dude ranches. The dude ranch is loosely modeled on a dude ranch I spent a lot of time on when I was in college, because I happened to be dating the woman whose mom owned it. So I like drew from a lot of my own past. And what happens is the reporter that the LA Times sends out was supposed to be somebody else, but that person had something befall them. And so this other person, Gina Morelli, shows up, and she and Meg, of course, hit it off immediately. So we've got the small town girl and the stranger interloper into the small town. And Diamond Rock is kind of like outside of Saratoga, but you know, if they want to go to the big city, they go to Laramie, possibly Cheyenne. And the novella ends with like these two women, young women, kind of starting to figure out like, oh, this could be a thing between us. And then the novel takes place several years later, and it's sort of a come back together kind of romance in which, you know, it didn't work out at first, and then they have to find each other again. And again, it's Meg is still based in Wyoming. She's now a vet. And Gina is still part of her life, but not as she was. But then there's like this reconnecting happening. So we get a return to a small town mm-hmm. by the interloper, or at least we hope. I'm not going to tell you what happens. I should read it and find out.
Yes, let us know.
So anyway, I mean, it's an homage to my years in college because I spent a lot of time in Wyoming and in Northern Colorado. And it's an homage to my own town. I didn't want to set anything in my own town, though. Mm-hmm. Yuck, what's the fun of that? And it's just kind of like trying to, because landscape plays a really important role when I'm doing a lot of writing, and for small town life, especially, I think setting is very, very important to really make that characterization come through. And I hope I was successful. Boots Up did win a Rainbow Award. From the Hat Down, the second book, is not a traditional trope-ish kind of thing. It took me a long time to write that one. So I hope it works out, and they are available in audiobooks. So if that's your thing, you know, you can do that. So thanks for asking, though.
Very cool. People, go check them out. Okay, Andy, where can people find you online if they want to connect with you?
They can find me everywhere. I go by the strangely mysterious Andy Marquette on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, my website, andymarquette.com. You can find me at Dirt Road Books, dirtroadbooks.com. Or Women in Words, womenwords.org. I'm everywhere. Tara, literally everywhere.
Omnipresent. Dun, dun, dun. You're our lesbian. Omnipresent. You're our lesbian ghost.
I know, right? And I just make it easy for people, and I just use my name so people can, you know, just do a search on that and you can find me. But I'm pretty active on Twitter and Facebook. Those are my first go-tos, but I do a lot of fangirl stuff over related to Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I have kind of these strange demographics of readers. I have like the traditional, I put that in quotes, you know, demographic of lesbian fiction. And then I have like the younger queers because of my fanfic. And they tend to congregate on Twitter and Tumblr. Whereas my more traditional, again in quotes, tend to find me on Facebook.
That is all for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me.
Woohoo! Thanks for chatting small town life. I freaking love it.
It's the best.
All right. Take care, Tara. Be safe.
I'm Tara, and you've been listening to Les Do Books. You can email me at tara@thelesbianreview.com with your questions or comments. If you're an author who's interested in joining me on the show to talk about the lesfic you love or the trends that have you interested, please let me know. If you've enjoyed this episode, please check out the show notes where you'll find a Patreon link for Tilt or visit patreon.com/thelesbiantalkshow. Our patrons get exclusive content like bonus podcasts that no one else gets access to. To find this and many other great shows, all you need to do is search for Tilt, spelled T-L-T, on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or Spotify.